Good morning, everyone. Obviously, Nick is gone. He's going to take a little break today. And I get a chance to share with you from my heart what the Lord has laid on my heart for all of us in this day today. And so my text is taken from Hebrews chapter 11. And I would like to just read what you have on the back. Maybe you'd like to join me in points that I'm trying to make today about faith. We are blessed to have the heroes of our faith clearly spelled out in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is really the hall of faith. And let's read this together on the back of the bulletin, all right? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptian tried to do so, they were drowned. That's actually 23 to 29, the verses for the text today. Seven tests, dimensions, expressions of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We have and are living in an exciting time in our country, where now we have a little uptick on conservative values, which is a blessing to all of us. But we are filled with all kinds of opportunities to live out our faith at home, with our kids, our spouse, our family. Faith is lived out in marriages, and faith is lived out in our career, our jobs, our friendships, our community, and school days. But we are his ambassador, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says. We are to live by faith, listen to God and hear his calling, and listen to his calling and the assignments he has for each and every one of us. I have a nephew. He's in his 40s. He was a very, very successful businessman. He's a landscaping and stonework company. And yet, God is speaking to him about full-time pastoral ministry. So by faith, Joel and Anna and the six kids have applied and passed their Bible coursework to become full-time pastoral ministry. They're leaving the business world and going into full-time ministry. What a journey. It started actually a long time ago when he was saved as a young boy. My brother was his dad and his pastor back then. For by faith, he is stepping out into his call from the Lord. I'm so proud of my nephew, Joel. In 1972, June 17th, by faith, my wife said, I do. And we have been married for 52 years with two children and lots of grandkids, six by count. By faith, we have been in the pastoral ministry for 30 years and a parachurch ministry for 20, and that's about 50 years. But your story is different, but it's really the same. We all, by faith, are going to step out or step up to the plate or speak up by faith, live out our calling and live out your calling. So that little phrase, by faith, is given 18 times in this chapter. And it says, by faith, Abel, and by faith, Enoch, and by faith, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Gideon, and by faith Rahab, the harlot, and by faith David and Samuel and Samson. They all lived their life by faith. Now that seems very elementary, and it is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it was Joshua who challenged his people at Shechem, "Choose you for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Elijah on Mount Carmel said, "How long will you hesitate? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." 1 Kings 18:21. So today we're going to look at seven tests, seven dimensions, if you will, seven expressions, four positive and three negative. Hebrews 11 is our champion of faith. And if you are discouraged or you're living in depression or anxiety or heartache, you need to just get a little inspiration. I want you to park on Hebrews chapter 11. And all these people, men and women who lived and died in faith. We start here with Moses' life and his legacy in these verses 23 to 29. In Exodus chapter 2, Pharaoh proclaimed an edict because of the overpopulation of Hebrews. He gave an order to the midwives that if they have a Hebrew woman who has a boy, that they are, we're to kill it. Verse 16, Hebrews or Exodus chapter 2. But if a girl, let her live. The midwives feared God and disobeyed his edict. Verse 22, Pharaoh said, "Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile River. But every girl, let her live." Shockingly, things hasn't changed much, have they? People and children are at disposal. But Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, hid baby Moses for 3 months and then sent him off in a waterproof basket. Exodus 2:2. And you know the story. The princess of Egypt found little baby Moses and he was miraculously saved and delivered. And they responded by faith. They overcame their fears. They opposed the murderous intent of the Pharaoh. Defied Pharaoh's edict and hid him. And so Jochebed cared for Moses. Kind of an unlikely outcome, but it was a miracle. So by faith, number one in our outline today, by faith, here is what we do. And we always do that, and that we defend the defenseless and the survivors and the innocent. And we take a bold pro-life stance in our fellowship. And we thank God for it, and we're grateful for the inroads that we have made in our country for that. So number one, by faith, we defend the defenseless and the innocent. And then the same thing happened in Germany when you think about World War II, and the Stalin's regime and how many people were destroyed, but the innocent survived. And in Germany, for instance, many people were rounding up Jews and murdering them, but there was a lot of people that were hiding them in their homes and hiding places. People responded by faith, and by faith we too respond. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. But choose life so that you and your children may live." And that has always been our policy and our ministry here in our church. And now Moses grows up. There's two or three different 40-year segments in Moses' life we'll talk about in a little bit. But Moses grows up. He's born into the Egyptian life because of the Hebrews that came down from Middle East and then needed food. And so because of the famine in the land, they all went down wholesale. So that's number one. In your outline, now number two, he refused the world's identity. Verse 24. I want to read that. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, there's a lot of brainwashing going on in our day. What do you identify as? What is your identity? Our identity is sometimes very skewed in our world today. We don't know who we are. Little boys don't know. Girls don't know. It's a real moral mess out there. And my heart goes out to kids who have been swayed by the educational system or counselors or whatever, that you are in somebody else's, you know, body. It's a terrible thing. What do we do? What do we identify as? I identify as a born-again, blood-bought child of God, available for him to use me wherever he wants to use me. Moses chose, I am not pretending anymore. He said, I am Jewish. I'm a follower of Yahweh. And so, what is our identity? I'm a blood-bought child of God. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I have a little slide that I'm not sure. Oh, there we go. Who I am in Christ. It's a beautiful reminder. I love lists. That's just who I am. I love lists. And I love to easily put down on a piece of paper all that I am in Christ. It's refreshing. It's encouraging. It's faith building to look at what you have. And there are a few samples down here if you'd like to pick one up at the end of the service today. Take a picture of it, send it to somebody on social media, are the things that you are and how you stand for God. So his mother raised him and his father raised him, and yet he was in the court of Pharaoh. I love this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a people that should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God and have received mercy. And like others in our day, we tend to believe that we're a minority. But whether we're a minority or not, we are God's instruments of ministry in our world today. So, by faith, number three in your outline, it says, by faith we accept the persecution. Moses, again, had three different 40-year segments. He, from infancy to 40, he lived in Egypt. From 40 to 80, he lived in Medina, married. And then his last segment of his years, leading the children of Israel out of bondage into the promised land. But he chose to leave the comfortable place in Egypt. Like my nephew Joel, he is listening to the voice of God and following God by faith. And he's looking for an assignment in his denomination. I'm pretty proud of him. He left the comfortable pleasures. If you listen to God's calling and hear his voice, I want you to walk into that arena and follow through with what God is calling you to do. Moses' core value system shifted from pleasure and treasure in Egypt to purpose and calling. He identifies now as a part of the Jewish heritage. And Paul made that choice too, the Apostle Paul. He says he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Whatever things were gained to me, he said, I counted loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul really did pay the price for his standing and walking by faith. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, five times he was beaten. Three times he was beaten with rods. One time he was stoned. And then the rest of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about the hardships. But the hardships didn't stop him. The hardships made him stronger. And the hardships by faith make us stronger as well. I have a little story to interject into this portion because I'm so grateful for my family. When I was much younger, I still have six grandkids, but four of them I took out to breakfast every Friday. And I want to tell you a little story about what Lucy did. I think she was either 11 or 12. She was at Stonebridge School, and she said, "Grandpa, I want to tell people about my faith. How do I go about it?" And I said, "Well, honey, I know one thing for sure. I'm proud of you for wanting to witness to your friends. But I do know that it's important that you do it properly." So I said, be sure you pass out whatever you want to pass out, tell them about a gospel tract or whatever, before school starts. She said, "Okay, Grandpa." So one day when I took her, we went from Perkins, and went Perkins every Friday, we stopped off at the front door of the school, and she had a stack of papers that she wanted to pass out. And it was a blessing. And here I have a copy of it. It's been around for quite a long time. She's 26 now. She did this probably 16 years ago. This is what she wanted to say to her friends. And again, she did it before school. "The Lord took the flesh of a man and created a woman with it. And just like the Lord created the world, he made the heavens and the earth. The Lord is the only one true God. He has many names like Savior and Lord and God. When you die, you might go somewhere else. But first, you need to do something. You could go to heaven, which is a wonderful place with streets paved with gold, but you need to ask the Lord into your heart first. Pray to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, and he will be with you forever." Now, isn't that just the gospel right there? That doesn't mean to do it and kill yourself. Just wait until the time comes. Just remember, this is an 11-year-old girl. And you don't have to do it at all either. It's your choice. But if you're doing it, it will mean a lot to the Lord. This is a big step for you. Talk to Lucy Peterson about it. And she said, "Put a check next to the one that fits you. I'll do it. I already did it. I'm not so sure." She passed that around. But then the tough part happened. One little boy looked at it and said, "You can't do this here in a public school, and you can't talk about God here." And so he took this paper, this little boy, and he brought it to his teacher. And his teacher didn't know the rules about passing out literature, but made Lucy collect all 35 of those documents that she had made. She cried. She was embarrassed. And I said, "Lucy, I'm proud of you, but I'll take care of this." So I did. I went to the principal and I said, she was in her rights. He said, "No, you're not supposed to talk about that." I said, "No, before school, you could pass out invitations to anybody, anywhere, and I know that. You have a literature distribution policy. I want you to read it. And if I'm wrong, you don't need to do anything. But if you read it and you did something wrong, you need to apologize to my granddaughter." She called me back up and she said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't know our literature distribution policy, and I will apologize to your daughter." I'm so grateful for the boldness. She wasn't afraid of passing out something like that. And she did face a little bit of persecution, but you know what? I think that made my granddaughter really a tough girl, Lucy. She's 26 now, lives in Brooklyn, New York. She's an adventure kind of a person. So all these little things that happen to us, maybe an attack, maybe a persecution thing like this, it makes us stronger. We stand and defend our faith. And you do it in the proper way, in the proper spots. But Moses accepted the persecution. And then Paul suffered persecutions and beatings and stonings. Character is making moral decisions ahead of the temptation or the passion. Character is making moral decisions ahead of the temptations. And if you put down what you're not going to fall to, what you're not going to do, then you've got this boundaries that you are going to follow to keep your character and your faithfulness evident to everybody. Number four, by faith, we reject the world's values, considering carefully what the outcome is. Verse 26, it says, "He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." He considered it. He rationally looked it out. There's a Hebrew word here I can't even pronounce. Regarded, or he considered it all. Think it through thoroughly. He weighed the pros and the cons of the Egyptian lifestyle and what God had to offer him. And there was no question about his choice. Moses decided that the worst he would endure is more valuable than the blessed of the world's riches. He decided that the worst he would endure is more valuable than the best of the world's riches. You know, all ads today, all media temptations are out there. It's all about either pleasure or possessions or popularity or prestige or passions or the status stuff that's out there. He said the reproach of Christ is far greater riches than the rewards in the world in Egypt. Psalm 37:6 says, "Better is little with the righteous than the abundance of many wicked." Moses looked ahead to his reward because God called him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. The question is, what is my vision? What is my values? Moses' priorities are ours. God's purpose, not popularity. Loving God's people and refusing to live merely by pleasure. Having God's peace is not about abundance of possessions. As his perspective was the eternal rewards. Their eternal rewards. Number five, by faith he forsook. Verse number 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And he's heading on to Medina at this point because he had killed the Hebrew official, and he left. I guess I would pull out a Dodge and as well and prepare to fight another day, and that's exactly what Moses did. His greatest pressure was fear, just like yours and mine. We are afraid of making a mistake, or we are afraid of getting up, or we are afraid of making a confession of our faith. But he forsook all that. He chose by faith the hard path, and he endured as seeing him who is unseen. And I really believe that seeing is believing, but I also believe that believing is seeing. You know what I'm talking about? Seeing is believing, but believing is also seeing. Your eyes are wide open. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, Colossians. Number six, by faith we follow God's plan of deliverance. God's plan of deliverance. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, you remember this is the time during the 10 plagues to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. And all of the plagues were put on Pharaoh because he refused to let the children of Israel go. And finally, you know the last one, the death angel, the blood of the firstborn would be shed if you don't let my people go. And the death angel did come, and the blood that was It was on the doorpost and of the Hebrew children, Hebrew people. The death angel passed over them. But every other child, firstborn child in Egypt died because of the brutality of the Pharaoh. He kept the Passover. We keep, in a sense, the Passover with the communion meal, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith follows God's plan of deliverance. And there really is only one plan of deliverance. It's always been the blood. In the Old Testament, Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the what? The blood. And it's the blood that is an atonement for the soul. And so all of those were little types and signs of the new covenant that God would give to protect Israel's firstborn, Exodus chapter 11. Apply the blood to your soul. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only remedy to take care of our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And finally, number 7. Finally, by faith we trust God's promises no matter what the circumstances or life are like. Verse 29. By faith the people passed through. This is an incredible imagery. You've all seen the Charlton Heston Exodus movie, I'm sure. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Remember, there was walls of water on both sides, and the command was to go and flee and pass through. By faith the people passed through. They stepped out on faith as on dry land, it says. But when the Egyptian tried to do so, they were drowned. Wow. Exodus 3:14. Do not fear. I love this verse. Stand by and see. I can just see Charlton Heston right now. The salvation he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you. And God's plan, God's way, we walk by faith, nothing to rely on but the promises of God, and that's all we need. The Red Sea was their salvation. The Red Sea literally was their deliverance. And it looked like destruction, but it turned into their salvation. That's courageous faith. That's courageous faith. Thank God for Moses and his leaders. Thank God for all the heroes of the faith. Heroes of the faith that are stepping out even today in the public arena. Are you a hero of the faith, willing to testify of who you are and to a community or to a meeting and not be ashamed of your faith? I want to kind of close here today with a little story of courageous faith. Would you like to know what courageous faith looks like? Here it is. At Stanford Hospital, a little girl named Lisa was suffering from a rare and serious disease, blood disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and now had developed the same antibiotics needed to combat the illness. And so the doctor explained the situation and asked the little brother if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister so she could get better. The doctor saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath, and he said, "Yes, I'll do it if it will save Lisa." And as the transfusion proceeded, he laid in the bed next to his sister and smiled. The color began returning to Lisa's cheeks, and everyone cheered. Then his face grew pale, and his smile faded. This brave little boy looked up to the doctor and asked with trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" You see, being a young child, he misunderstood the transfusion process. He thought he was going to die to have to give her all his blood. Faith is courageous. It overcomes our deepest fears. And by faith, we protect the defenseless and the innocent every time. By faith, we refuse the world's identity. By faith, we choose, if need be, persecution over pleasure. And by faith, we reject the world's values, forsake the privileges, and we will persevere. We follow, number six, God's plan for deliverance. There's only one plan of deliverance, the blood of Jesus Christ. If you aren't sure of your salvation today, come and see one of the elders. Come talk to me. We're here for you. And it all starts with a faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith is trusting God and standing with Him. It's really only two choices. Live in fear and flee all the time. Or live by faith and stand to fight. I trust you will choose the latter. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you for the privilege we have to have heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 and heroes of the faith that stand for God in our world, pastors that take a stand in their churches for the truth of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for those that are suffering persecution all over the world for their faith. We pray that you would rescue them and give them courage to stand. Lord, use us in our day, and that may our courageous faith be loving and patient and kind, but also truthful and immediate. So bless us now as we continue in our final chapter of worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.